anoint one of his sons as king. Samuel was looking at the outside and thinking that Eliab would be the good choice or the obvious choice. But God said to him, "Do not look at his appearance, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So God looks past all our good deeds and sees our heart motive, our attitude. There was a couple of times this week where I said something to Justin and I think it just came out a little bit wrong. And he said, "Oh, you said that with a bit of chewed." And I said, "Chewed? What's chewed?" And he said, "Attitude." So that's obviously the new word at school for attitude. But I repented because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I didn't, want that to be. So for me, repentance is even more a part of my life than ever before. It's so tied into worship. Let's see, examples of true and false worship. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 21 to 31, let's see what we see through Saul's example. It's a big passage.
"The sheep of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord the God in Gibeah. And Samuel said, 'Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.' And Saul said unto Samuel, 'I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and I was, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord.' And Samuel said unto Saul, 'I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel.' And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, 'The Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent.' Then he said, 'I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, behold, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God.'" Verse 31. "So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord."
Thank you. So we see there, worship without a true heart towards God doesn't please him. It displeases him. And true worship is always from the heart and God-centered. Let's have a look at 2 Samuel 6, verse 13 to 16. I'll read that out. "And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling." So what's happening here is David's bringing the ark out of Israel. There's 30,000 men in all coming from Baalah to Judah, bringing the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, and they're celebrating with all their might. I can just imagine. "So David danced before the Lord," verse 14, "with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." And then we see from verse 20, if someone wants to read from verse 20 to 22 on.
"And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eye of the maid of his servants, as one of the base fellow shamelessly uncovered himself.' So David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will even be more undignified than this, and will be humbled in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor.'"
Wow, so we see David praising with no inhibitions. I was thinking about that Sunday where we sang, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I'll dance like David danced. And Pastor John, you know, got us all to really just praise with no inhibitions. I remember when I was a child being embarrassed to express worship in the ways of Scripture speaks about, to dance, to clap, to praise with instruments, to lift my hands, to kneel and bow, shout, singing is another one, prostrating ourselves before the Lord. But it's important because we must worship in God's way. We can't worship in our way, and that's the way the Scriptures say to worship. I don't have those references, but I can bring them next week if anyone wants those expressions of worship. So we must be obedient in our worship. Okay, let's have a look at David the worshipper. Who loves the Psalms? The Psalms are full of worship, aren't they? Just expressing, they do a very good job at expressing how we feel and towards the Lord and guiding us in our worship. I know two of my favourites are Psalm 63. I'll just turn there quickly. And we'll have a look at the ones listed. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. There shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. So that just speaks of the desperation, you know, when we're worshipping the Lord so well. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. And then we see here David, that was a psalm of David, and Psalm 42 is one of the sons of Korah, and that speaks about, I won't read that out, but even though they're downcast, they will yet praise the Lord. And that's the determination, that's the choice we have to make, because is it based on circumstances or how we feel, whether or not we praise the Lord? I mean, do we have things to thank and praise and worship the Lord for? Well, for a start, he's God. what he did by sending Jesus. He's Lord. He's King of Kings. He's worthy to be praised. He's the Lamb of God. So we really don't have to spend too much time at all thinking about what there is to worship the Lord for. So we see in Psalm 9, verse 1, I'll praise you with my whole heart. Can someone read Psalm 57, verse 7?
I will sing and give praise.
Thank you. And Psalm 86, verse 12 says, I'll praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. So it speaks of the whole heart. Can someone read Psalm 111, verse 1?
In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
Amen. And in 1 Samuel 13, 14, the Lord was looking for himself, a man after his own heart. And we see that after Saul disobeyed the Lord's command at Gilgal and kept some of the spoil of the Amalekites, Samuel told him his kingdom would not endure and went to look for a man after God's own heart. And that's where God said, not this one, not this one. He thought it was Eliab, but in the end it was David. And they had to go to the field and get him. And I thought that was interesting because David was a worshipper. And it says here that he was a man after God's own heart. We use that expression today. Have you ever heard people say, if someone says, oh, I like lasagna, and you'll say, oh, a man after my own heart. And I thought, yeah, we use that quite lightly, but it's a very deep, it's a very important thing. I was just wondering if that was something that was perhaps a key to being a worshipper. Okay, so we worship God for who he is. As we worship God, we put him in his rightful place of number one in our lives. Not in his rightful place in the world, because he already is. He already is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when we worship him, we're declaring him as that most important thing in our life. We're recognizing him as that rightful place of number one in our lives. What he has done. I know this week was a little bit hard and I had to look for things to be thankful for, which sounds ridiculous now, you know, but I didn't have to look far. That's what we're talking about before. Firstly, for who Jesus is, what he's done. There's always something to praise God about. What he's doing, he's changing us from glory to glory. He's teaching us, guiding us in the right paths. And for what he's going to do, he's our hope. He's our future hope. He's our present hope. We know that our tears are going to be wiped away one day. Okay, so we see 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3. If someone could read that one, please.
But didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing.
Thanks, Denny. So we see that love is so important. Our worship is meaningless without love. Worship translates into our daily actions and lifestyle. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, can I spend time in worship, you know, just glorying in the Lord's presence, meeting with him, and then easily go and behave in an unchristlike manner? It's quite difficult. And even if you do, because I know sometimes there's times where you're really honing into God and focusing on him, and the enemy will purposely try and pull you down and, you know, get someone to push your buttons or find your weaknesses. He knows what they are. And try and get you to do that. But it's difficult to do it. And if you do, how repentant do you feel almost immediately? Because you've just spent time in the presence of the Lord, you know, gazing into his beauty, his holiness, his face. Yeah, and then to go away and just behave unchristlike, it's not easy. So we must exude the beauty of Jesus. I think of spending time in the presence of the Lord like when you were a child and you'd see your dad and you'd just run into your dad's arms and he would just hold you and you would just be secure in his embrace. And I think of that when I think of, you know, like Abba Father, that song, Abba Father, deep within my heart I cry. Abba Father, I will never cease to love you. It's like running into God's arms and throwing yourself down in pure adoration at his feet and just glorying in who he is, meditating on it. And so if we do that, the more that we do that, the more the beauty of Jesus rubs off on us. So if I look at the word exude, it means to ooze forth. Exude is to make apparent by one's mood or behaviour. So someone can exude great confidence, someone can exude Jesus-like qualities. To radiate, to show, display, exhibit, manifest, emanate, to give off or show a quality strongly. So pray that our worship, the time that we spend in the Lord's presence, meeting with him, seeing more of who Jesus is, touches and changes us, never to be the same again, and just to walk away with deeper understandings of who he is all the time, and that we really do show more of Jesus to the world and people around us, and we are that kingdom of priests who are separate, you know, who there's something holy about, not through what we've done, but through what Jesus has done. Does anyone have any comments or questions?
I think our life itself is supposed to be, our life itself is supposed to be a kind of worship, you know. Paul was the one talking about his life being poured out like as an offering, you know, so that everything about us is about actually worshiping God. That whatever we do, we are doing it as an act of worship, and it is possible. When we go into the Bible, we notice, I mean, you see where, I mean, even in the New Testament, where we are instructed in terms of how we ought to behave. It says, servants, serve your master. As if you are doing it unto the Lord. Mm. So it, even your work, where you are paid, we can do it as in an act of worship.
Yeah.
The reason we are diligent is because we know that we are worshiping God. You know, to our friends, we are faithful. We are there for them. We do what we ought to do because we know we are worshiping God. Yeah. We're not doing it for any other reason. So that everything we do stems from who we are in Him, who have been chosen to, as a priest, offering something to the Lord. So our day, our life can be a daily sacrifice to Him. Even in things that we get paid for, we do it with a difference. We do it differently from the way other people would do it.
Yep.
Others would do it because they want to earn the dollar and go home. We are doing it because we are doing it because we are a child of God, and we say, look, I will have to be different. So our life can be in totality an act of worship.
Mm, amen, that's right. Yep. Any comments? Yes, Justin.
I find that passage in Samuel so powerful, where it says to obey is better than sacrifice. I think back then to the way they sacrificed more than singing with all the offerings and so on. But for us today, we can get together and sing, and I can sing at home and do all of that. But if I'm not walking in obedience, like obedience is, to turn and walk in obedience is such a form of worship before God. Like it's amazing it says that to obey is better than the sacrifice.
Mm. Yeah. Well, if that's all the comments. I was just actually wondering if we could finish off with a song today, since we taught on worship. Oh, the glory of your presence. If we could just... Is that okay, Pastor John? If we just sing that one. Do you guys know that one? Oh, the glory of your presence, where your people give you reverence. Come and rise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace, as your presence now fills this place. And then if we just keep that attitude of worship as the worship team come up as well. So let's just sing that a few times, if you wouldn't mind standing. And who knows that sometimes when you come in to worship the Lord, you actually have to make a conscious, deliberate effort to block out things around you, to switch your mind off what was happening at home before you got here. It's just focusing in on God, and that's why closing our eyes helps. And when we lift our hands, we're just saying we're lifting our hearts up with our hands. Our hearts are yielded. Our hearts are open to you, Lord. And that's the way we want to be. We don't want to be hiding stuff and not letting God into areas of our life. So let's just block out distractions and just focus on the Lord. Oh, the glory of your presence, we your people give you reverence, give you reverence. Come and rise, come and rise to your rest and be blessed, and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace, as your presence now fills this place. Let's sing it one more time, and if you feel to kneel down, just do that. All the glory of your presence, we your people rest and be blessed and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace as your presence.